Welcome to Medified, a podcast about web dev and tech news that piqued my interest. I'm your host, Richard, and I'm looking forward to this episode.
Guess what's barking up the tech tree today? Redwood.js, the full-stack savior for your JavaScript or TypeScript web project, is evolving like a software Pokemon. Yep, they're diving headfirst into the world of server-side rendering, or SSR, in what they're calling their next epoch. Redwood.js has been whipping up some serious magic in the lab for the past year. They will be tinkering away at their own SSR implementation, leveraging the sheer might of React's streaming powers to bring this to life, addressing the pitfalls of those pesky pure single-page apps. But they're not stopping at the SSR, no. They're adding React Server Components, or RSCs, into Redwood as well, making it more of a Swiss Army knife of web development frameworks. It's a shift so monumental that they're commemorating it with their next major release, Redwood.js Bighorn. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And that's not the end of the news, because this September they're hosting the inaugural Redwood.js conference. Just picture it. You, a few days in Grants Pass, Oregon, surrounded by other code enthusiasts and the beautiful mountain scenery. If that's not a coder's paradise, I don't know what is. And before you start scratching your heads about why Redwood.js would shift gears from a Jamstack-optimized SPA structure, well, let me tell you why. To put it simply, this move is all about performance, flexibility, and of course, SEO. Yep, folks, Redwood.js is thinking about your Google ranking and how hard it can be with the existing SPA architecture. And don't even get me started on the tricky business of implementing a secure and performing GraphQL API. Worry no more. With RSCs, you'll have more transparent API options that let you start swiftly and upgrade when the time is right. Now that's what I call service. In essence, Redwood.js is adopting a serverful-first approach and betting on the future of React Server Components, which, according to them, and I quote, is the future of React. And if that's not a tech prophecy, I don't know what is. So folks, if you're just excited as I am, make sure you don't miss out on the conference. I mean, a chance to meet the wizards behind Redwood.js and share a cup of joe? Count me in. For this next update, we're once again diving headfirst into the world of Bun, that fascinating new JavaScript bundler. Around a month ago, they brought out the next version of Bun, and now they're bringing something even more impressive. A new feature known as Bun Macros. These macros provide a unique mechanism for running JavaScript functions at bundle time, with the results of these functions directly inlined into your bundle. So, what does this mean in practical terms? Well, here's a simple example. Consider a function that returns a random number. You can now import this function as a macro, and when you bundle this with bun, the bundled file will print the random number directly. The beauty of this feature is that the source code of the function doesn't appear in the bundle. Instead, it executes during bundling, replacing the function call with the result of the function. The potential applications for macros are quite exciting. For instance, you can embed the latest Git commit hash or make fetch requests at bundle time. These uses of macros enhance your coding efficiency, and the best part is, if the build fails, you'll know exactly why. But how do bun macros work? Well, they use import statements with the attribute type macro. This import attribute is part of a stage 3 ECMAScript proposal, which means it's likely to become an official feature of JavaScript. If the transpiler sees one of these special imports, it calls the function at bundle time using bun's JavaScript runtime, converting the return value into an AST node. However, there are some essential things to keep in mind while using macros. The result of the macro needs to be serializable, and the input arguments must be statically analyzable. Also, for security reasons, macros must be explicitly imported with type macro to be executed at bundle time. All in all, bun's new macros feature is an exciting development that could greatly impact how we bundle and manage JavaScript. By integrating this functionality directly into the bundling process, it's providing a way for developers to more efficiently manage their code and build processes. On this thrilling day, I am happy to say we're going to be diving into another batch of cool updates about Deno, particularly its newest version 1.34. So let's get the ball rolling with the showstopper of this release. The Deno compile now supports NPM packages. You heard it right, folks. The future is here and it's fantastic. This compatibility means we can compile our projects into single binary executables that can run across all major platforms. No more dependency installations or worrying about assets portability. And the cherry on top is, it boots faster. You can use Deno compile for Kause, but also much more complex projects like Vite or ESLint. The benefits are endless and the startup speeds are as quick as a hair. If you compare Deno compile to a global NPM install, Deno packages these dependencies of the libraries alongside the Deno executable, ensuring the dependencies will not be changed by accident. But hold on, we're just warming up. The Deno 1.34 update also brings us glob support in Deno.json and CLI flags. If you've been searching for an efficient way to specify files, your quest ends here. Glob syntax works cross-platform, so whether you are on Windows, macOS, or Linux, you're covered. Then there's another shiny new feature that we know you've been longing for, TLS certificates with IP addresses. For anyone dealing with Kubernetes pods or DNS over HTTPS or TLS, this could be a game changer. The update doesn't stop there though. Deno 1.34 brings a whole bunch of improvements to make your life as a developer much easier. From configuration file upgrades that let you exclude files or folders across all subcommands, to language server enhancements, and even the ability to tweak the API, Deno has left no stone unturned. And there's more. The Deno Serve API now returns an instance of Deno Server instead of promise, giving you more flexibility in controlling the server programmatically. And the Deno Create HTTP Client API has more options that offer you even more control. Talk about power at your fingertips. Finally, they've made big strides in NPM and no compatibility, as always, even polyfilling a few more built-in Node.js APIs. And of course, this new Deno ships with V8 11.5 and the new TypeScript 5.0.4. So folks, that's Deno 1.34 for ya. A bundle of upgrades designed to make your developer journey smoother and more exciting. It's clear that Deno is on a roll, and we can't wait to see what they have in store for us next.
Thanks for tuning in to Minified. If you like what I do, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and share it with your friends and colleagues. Catch you later.